Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers as we come to you from the Gwynn Room in the Governor's Annex in Carson City. On the program today, the Majority Leader of the State Senate, Mo Dennis, will join us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Warren Hardy, Helen Foley, and Robin Reedy. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are taping this morning of the 29th with Senator Mo Dennis, the Majority Leader of the Nevada State Senate. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
It's great to be here.
Let's start out with you let the sex education bill die by not bringing it up for a vote. What was so radical or outlandish about the sex ed bill that it didn't get a vote in the Senate?
Well, I don't know about it being radical so much as, you know, being able to work out all the issues that were important. And, you know, the caucus felt that there was just some things there that that weren't quite ready. And
for example?
You know, the bill itself was trying to get to, you know, how do we get to more kids? And, you know, 95% of the kids are getting sex education, and so there are some things that need to be done in it. There are some topics that are missing that need to be added, but at the end of the day, not everybody was on board, and you know, we just felt it wasn't ready to move forward.
The Republican leader in the Assembly, Pat Hickey, taped a program for us earlier, and one of the things that he was talking about was that this session has really set things up, not so much to accomplish things in this session, but to set things up for discussions in the interim that would come to fruition in the next session. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think partially that's true. I think there's been a lot of stuff done this session. You know, a lot of times...
For example?
A lot of times we talk about the session being successful because there was a lot of money, you know, done for this or that. You know, I think this is the first time that we've done, you know, in the last 5-6 years, we've been able to actually do more for education rather than cut education. That doesn't mean we're anywhere near where we need to be.
But was that you guys or was that the governor when he found any extra money, he swept it and put it into education?
Yeah, well, keep in mind that the governor doesn't, I mean, when he says he finds money, it's not really finding money. It's all money that we all know where it is. It comes out as during the budget process. And he's just saying, this is where I would like to spend it, you know, and we would say, well, this is where we would like to spend it. So it's not, it's the issue that the economy is starting to get a little better. And so we're starting to see some positive things happening there. You know, the fact that the that everyone was willing to do the sunsets, you know, one more time to at least get us through to next time. And, you know, like you said, I think that this is also the opportunity to set some things up for going into the future. We've had a lot of important discussion concerning revenue, you know, with mining, and we've had a lot of discussion about education. The first time, in my, you know, where we're not fighting about education. We all agree, you know, kindergarten, class size reduction, ELL, those types of topics in the past, we would say one thing and they would say, well, no, we don't need full day kindergarten, or we don't need ELL, or we don't need, we're not talking about that this time. This time it's just how much do we do and when do we do it? You know, do we do it now or versus the future? And so I think that's been a positive thing that we've been able to talk about that.
And also this has come about because of the political situation where Republicans are realizing that the Hispanic community is a huge part of not just the community, but the voting community, 20% at this point in time, and rapidly growing.
Yeah, and that's exactly true. It's actually growing much more than that. You know, we're almost between 25 and 30% now Hispanic in Nevada. I think that the Hispanic community is you know, has shown that they're going to get out and vote and that they want to be listened to, and I think that people are starting to listen to that.
You were saying other things that you felt have been accomplished during this session, not necessarily big and sexy, but what other things are you the most proud of?
Well, I think I already alluded to the education stuff. I think that's important, the fact that we're doing more for ELL. In the past, we haven't really put any of our own money into ELL. We've been using federal money. When you look at our kids that need the biggest help, it's, you know, during the interim, we did a study, and it was on ELL, the poverty, economics issue, special ed, you know, so those issues, if we can put more into those areas, and reduce class size, especially in those early, you know, K through three, we'll get kids reading. So we're setting them up to be successful down the line, which is going to increase graduation rates. It's going to increase test scores, and kids are going to be learning more. So I think that those are all good things. I think we, with the healthcare issues, we've set some things in place. We didn't have to cut, you know, as much as we've been cutting in the past. And, you know, we've set up the healthcare exchange that was done last session, and it continues, and we've been able to tweak it. When you look at, you know, issues of the state as far as continuing the process of making things more efficient in that, I think that's been a positive thing. And I think, you know, the other part is that we actually have been working very well together. And on the past, one of the things that we heard during the interim was, you guys need to quit, you know, you need to work together. And I think we've seen that. And in the Senate, I think if you look at the legislation coming out of the Senate, many times it was 21-0. And that's that wasn't because we were just rubber stamping something. That was because we were working together in committee even outside of committee to come up with stuff, to come up with issues and solutions that everybody could agree to, that's good for Nevada, and that we can work together on. So I think those are all positive things.
Senator Kieckhefer on the program a couple of weeks ago raised his concerns that the amount of money going towards Obamacare in the state and setting it up, he was concerned that we may be putting too much into it, and that we may not get the number of people, tens of thousands of people, into the system to take advantage of this. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, you know, when it comes to the health care issues, I think we don't know. I think that's the biggest thing, is we don't know what it's going to cost. We don't know how many are going to, you know, we can project all we want to, but until it actually gets implemented, we don't know what's going to happen. What we do know is that at least we decided that we were going to set it up. You know, there were some states that refused to set anything up, and now the federal government is going to do it for them. So because we were out front, and many people now look to us as a leader in setting up the exchange, I think that we are positioned, you know, to do the things that need to happen. So whether it happens or not, that's still a big question, and what the costs are going to be. You know, a lot of questions concerning all of that. But I think that we are definitely well positioned to move forward on that issue.
One of the biggest problems, of course, facing us with Obamacare is we don't have the number of doctors, nurses, et cetera, that we need in the state. And yet it doesn't appear that there was more money being put toward, you know, medical training.
When it comes to the training issue, I mean, we have put more back. We have put back into the education, into the higher ed system. Is getting a little more. You know, we obviously have the formula and things that have been worked out. But also, I mean, some of the bills that have come through that allows, nurses and others to perhaps do a little more. And I think they're going to be able to pick up a little bit of that slack when it comes to some of the need, especially in some of the rural areas where it's going to be really hard to implement some of these things because there's just the people just aren't there. So I think that there's some positive things that have come out of session that will help in that respect.
Okay, more with Majority Leader Dennis when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I proudly sit on the board of the Nevada Youth Empowerment Project. Northern Nevada's homeless youth population is growing, and fast. It is estimated that there may be hundreds of homeless teens living in Washoe County. NYEP is a local transition home for homeless girls aged 17 to 21. NYEP has received a $37,000 challenge grant that must be matched by June 1st. Don't leave these girls on the street. Please donate today at nvyep.org.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Majority Leader of the Nevada State Senate, Senator Mo Dennis. One of the bills that's coming out it'll be yesterday by the time this airs, but will be the driver's license authorization. Tell us about that, and you must be very pleased.
Well, you know, that's the kind of thing that when I first came to the assembly and then moved over to the Senate, we've always talked about that. That's been something important in the Hispanic community to be able to drive to work and other. A lot of people have wanted to talk about that's an immigration issue, but it truly is a safety issue. And we've been able to work across the aisle with the governor, with the Republicans, bring forth a bill that will make our streets safer. At the end of the day, it will help our economy. It's going to help our highway fund because, you know, as these individuals...
It'll actually make money for the state, right?
Exactly. It's several million dollars per biennium are going to come in. And we're going to have people that are driving... People are driving around now, and so this will...
With no insurance.
And no insurance. They haven't taken any testing,
right.
and so they're going to need to do all of that. But, you know, they're excited about that. And the interesting thing is, I brought in the Utah Republican senator that introduced this in Utah 10 years ago, as well as a Democratic senator who was on the opposite side back then. There's been big issues both on the left and the right concerning this issue, but we've been able to work together to come to something that I think will make... that it will be good for Nevada, make our roads safer, and it just shows that we can work together when we decide to.
State Senator Debbie Smith's big thing has been all along star bonds and reforming those to preserve more money for education. I'm presuming you're in support of that.
Yeah.
And is it gonna get there?
You never know until it's over whether we get there or not. But I know that she's been working really hard to make sure that the education funding isn't impacted because of that, and making sure that the right policy is in place. So I think we'll get there.
Review Journal, Sean Whaley writing amended annual sessions bill clears the Nevada Assembly panel, so it's eventually going to head towards you if it makes it out of the Assembly. How do you feel about annual sessions? And now that the fear of a lot of people that the legislature would end up moving to Las Vegas appears to be gone.
Well, you know, we did an interim study. And I participated in that. We actually went to state of Oregon, who had just switched to annual sessions. You know, I'm kind of mixed when it comes on this issue. I think it's important that we have the ability to do laws and budgets and things in a timely manner. Right now, with 2 years, it's getting a little difficult for our state, especially when you need to make adjustments. You know, to have annual sessions that are 120 days, I don't think that would work.
You know, a lot of conservatives say that, you know, the less time you guys are in office, the more money we save.
Well, you know, people can say that, but we all know that the things that we do here impact our lives each and every day, and sometimes we don't do that in an efficient manner. But you know, from a legislator's,
but you're able to do it through the interim finance committee, though.
Well, the interim finance committee can't actually make financial changes to the budget. All they can do is make adjustments. So if there are some major things, if we've seen in the past. For example, we've had to have special sessions, and you know, we had 3 special sessions just in one interim alone. And so, you know, I mean, there are some things that we want to do, and I think part of this legislation also helps us in how we do things in the interim. I think that's important.
Hey, a quick last question here, because I know you got to run, and I appreciate you sticking around for this interview. This session, there's been a lot of togetherness, mainly because there's not been money to spend. But 2 years from now, the way the economy's going, looks to me like there's going to be a lot of money. Do you think that it'll be a more contentious session in 2015?
Well, it's hard to, you know, I don't have a crystal ball what the future will look like. There's a lot of dynamics. We have a lot of new people this session, a lot of new leaders, and we've all been trying to learn and do the best that we can. I think 2 years from now, you know, the economy is going to be hopefully doing better, and we will have some money to be able to talk about some of these policy decisions that we've put in place. I don't know. I think it'll be very interesting to see where we get 2 years from now. But I think that, you know, we've set the stage to be able to have those discussions. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff in the interim that occurs that will also help set the stage for what happens 2 years from now.
Mr. Majority, thank you so much for being here. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Attention, Northern Nevada furniture shoppers. A great $2 million furniture sell-off and retirement sale is going on right now at Ennis Fine Furniture. America's finest furniture plus oriental rugs with deep, deep discounts. And now we're going to pay your sales tax. All in-stock furniture has been heavily discounted, and now your tax is covered by us. Now is the perfect time to buy America's finest furniture for a whole lot less at Ennis Fine Furniture's greatest sale ever. Watch the newspaper for details.
Car accidents, motorcycle accidents. Injured in an accident?
I'm attorney Bob Vanna. I've been winning injury cases in Nevada since 1976.
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
Full flavor you can feel good about. Papa Murphy's Delight Pizza. A crispy, thin crust pizza that you create, take, and bake in your own oven. Try a classic like the chicken bacon artichoke or herb chicken Mediterranean. Or for a limited time, try the new Greek pepperoni delight with fresh spinach and crumbled feta cheese for only $9. With 40% less fat, 30% fewer calories, and 100% of the flavor. Go ahead, have another slice. Papa Murphy's, love at 425 degrees.
Over the course of the next decade, more than 1 million of our best teachers are going to retire. And for our nation to remain a world-class leader with world-class talent, we need the next generation of world-class teachers. You may want to become a teacher the more you know.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, former State Senator Helen Foley is here. She's a partner with Fess Foley Warren. Former State Senator Warren Hardy is here, principal with Hardy Consulting. And Robin Reedy was chief of staff for Governor Gibbons and runs principal, and she's principal with R Politics. Pleasure to have you all here. So the big news of the day Yesterday was the announcement that Berkshire Hathaway, one of their subsidiaries, is purchasing NV Energy. Your thoughts on that, considering all of the NV Energy business has gone on throughout the session?
Well, it's exciting that Warren Buffett would be coming to Nevada. However, I think the whole thing is a bit scary.
In what way?
Well, it takes the PUC out of a lot of the regulatory issues so that NV Energy can build a lot of new plants, and everything is considered prudent in the language, and so we don't know what's going to happen to our rates. They could just skyrocket.
Were you surprised with the support of both the governor and Senator Reid?
It's been everyone, the governor, Senator Reid, most of the legislators. The only ones I've seen that have opposed it are the Assembly Republicans. Almost everyone is supporting it that's elected. One of the concerns I think the legislators should have is that if these rates skyrocket, it won't be the fault of the PUC. It'll be hung directly on them.
And that could have ramifications down the road for people seeking higher office.
Oh, I mean, clearly. I mean, I think SB 123, I mean, the support for that, I think, is an indication that everybody recognizes we need to move away from coal, and it's happening across the country. But I'm not sure in 120 days, I'm not sure there shouldn't have been a more lengthy, maybe interim study look at how we do that. But, you know, at some level, you've got to trust the market, and you have to trust NV Energy. And I do agree with Helen that there are some things in that that could come back to bite us, but it's a major policy shift.
Your thoughts, Robin?
Well, you know, sometimes when things happen, it tends to make everything else make sense that happened before. So I think it was made very attractive, and it was successfully bought.
You know, just out of curiosity, how long do you think a deal like this takes to put in place? Is this something where you would see due diligence over a couple of year period?
I think Warren Buffett is a very shrewd, wise man, and he wouldn't do something like that hastily. Both of the boards, his board, as well as NV Energy's boards, have unanimously approved this. So it's been in the works for a while.
Huh. Yeah, I don't think it takes two. I don't think it takes a guy like Warren Buffett 2 years, but it's certainly it's not something he woke up on Monday and thought of.
So. All right. Let's change topics and move to the legislature here. It all ends on Monday, we presume. Warren, do you see any reason why the legislative session won't end on Monday?
I don't. This is, I think, you know, I've been doing this since 1991, and this is the most, I don't want to call it uneventful, because I think there's been some good policy that have come out of the session, but it's just not been a session that has the characteristics of one that's going to drag on. I mean, there's been some little minor blow-ups, but it's been the most bipartisan that I remember. So I just don't see any reason they couldn't end early, for that matter.
Okay, so for example, of good policy.
Well, off the top of my head, I guess. I think we've done some good things in the solar, with the solar. I think we finally got to the AB 416 changes that I think may help the solar industry continue on. So that's one that comes to mind.
I was surprised when Senator Reid was on the program the other day that he is not able to get a power purchase agreement for the ENN plant near Laughlin, which would bring thousands of jobs to the state. And they wanted to build a solar plant to build panels as well as have a power generating facility.
That's really tragic. I mean, that was going to be real economic vitality for Laughlin, but also having a major presence from a huge Chinese company in Nevada, I think it would have been a precedent that would be set. It would be good for Nevada.
Robin, you've been through this process, in the governor's office. It seems to me that the governor is the big winner in this session.
I think clearly. I mean, everything seems to be going his way, and when the wind blows that way, you just let it blow that way.
Well, but the Democrats are also saying he is agreeing to a lot of the things that we've wanted all along. So I think there's been a real spirit of cooperation here.
I think that is one of the greatest things that I've ever seen, was Debbie Smith, picking up and saying, well, the governor keeps getting more money and then sweeps it into education, and that's what we wanted all along.
And that's true. Last time it was no new taxes and I'm not going to do anything. And then until the Supreme Court made the decision that changed all of that, it was a very ugly session, D's and R's and the governor. But this time it hasn't been that way. With new leadership, they don't have, the animosity that we've seen in the past. There's been a real spirit of cooperation. It's been a little more dull, but it certainly has been a lot more civil.
But it's a lot easier to cooperate in an upswing economy than it is when the revenues are going down.
Not always. I mean, that's not always been my experience. Some of the most contentious sessions I remember is when we had a large surplus to spend and what we fought over what we spent.
Right, and even though we thankfully do see the state's economy moving, northward, and thankfully, and I think that the next session 2 years from now is going to be quite contentious because there's going to be surpluses, and that's when people are going to start fighting for where the money should go.
Right.
And you're seeing the beginnings of that in California, where there's potentially a multi-billion dollar surplus, and everybody's bubbling up now.
How do you have a surplus when you're not balancing your budgets? You've got all that debt out there.
Right, but in California, they actually are projecting in the next budget and the budget after that, the governor's office is saying at least $1.5 billion, but others are saying it could be closer to $4 billion. And do you put it into a rainy day fund, which would be my suggestion, and I'm hearing Carol Velardo say that inside my head, but there's lots of things people want to spend money on.
Well, you know, there are a few issues that are still out there, too, that I think are very important. The background checks, Senator Justin Jones's bill, has been heard in the Assembly, and hopefully it'll pass. There's a tax indexing for fuel that is very important to Clark County.
Right.
And so, you know, we're waiting on a few other things, too. There's still a lot in the game in the next couple days.
And great words to leave the segment on. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, everybody. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Not too long ago, this was considered state-of-the-art rug cleaning. Today, this is the state-of-the-art, and the only one to offer it in Northern Nevada is the Carpet Tender. Thanks to an incredibly powerful vacuum and dusting system, the amount of dirt removed by this system before actual washing begins is amazing. Nothing comes close to the Carpet Tender's rug washing plant. For unbeatable washing of all your area rugs, including Orientals, Navajos, and other heirloom rugs, call the Carpet Tender. Remember, it's the Carpet Tender, or something less.
If you've been injured in a car accident, a slip and fall, or any other life-changing calamity, how can you be sure you'll receive the best advice and help with your claim?
At Galloway & Jensen, we have the answers you want and the experience you need.
Insurance adjusters are trained to act like your friend, but they're also trained to take advantage of you.
We work for the insurance companies,
and we won't let them take advantage of you.
For your free consultation, call Galloway & Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should, too.
You waited for the year's best incentives. You waited for the year's best selection. You waited for just the right time to trade in your vehicle.
Hey, stop waiting. It's Carson Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram's remarkable Memorial Day markdown. Save on the over 40 MPG 2013 Dodge Dart. Marked down to only $18,900. Or a 2013 Dodge Avenger SE V6 for only $18,600. But it all ends May 31st at Carson Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, where cars really do cost less. Thank you. See CarsonDodge.com.
Home invasions and break-ins are becoming more common. Don't wait for police to show up after the crime. Protect your home and family now with an all-weather 3-in-1 steel, storm, and security screen door sold and installed by Matlock. These doors and window guards can't be kicked in or pulled off, and they are the best storm and screen doors you can buy. 3-in-1 steel doors provide beauty, peace of mind, and energy savings. Call 356-1858 today and put an all-weather steel door between you and whatever is out there.
Among the guests coming up next week as we wrap up the legislative session, we'll have State Senators Debbie Smith and Mark Hutchison and our Power Pundit panel that will wrap up.